Hello and welcome back to your one and only source. We are your hosts.
My name is Phoebe.
My name is Caroline, and today we are recapping season 2, episode 7 of Gossip Girl.
I think 6.
Wasn't 6 Desperately Seeking Serena?
No, well.
No, that was 3.
No, this is 6.
Okay. Season 2, episode 6 of Gossip Girl.
New Haven can wait.
This episode, oh my God, it is such a classic, but I feel like not that much happens until like the very end.
It continues to reaffirm our, I don't want to put words in your mouth and say issue with Blair, but she does what she's been doing the last couple times she and Serena have gotten into big fights where it's like, Blair, I was on your side all the way up until you take it just a little too far.
I know. And like, I will just come to my girl's defense and say, she's thoroughly provoked.
Yeah, but that's just, Serena fights dirty, but she isn't, like, she wouldn't have done that.
Maybe not, but she did take Blair's answer. So, like, one thing also,
but
though,
that's
is,
just
like,
not, like...
But also,
the same.
Blair doesn't give her opportunities to do things like that because it's always Blair hitting back. It's not ever, like, preemptive. And I also feel like it's so much, like, deeper for Serena because, first of all, Blair knows Serena doesn't want to go to Yale. So she's, like... I think she knows there, like, Serena, if she doesn't go to Yale, she'll go to Brown. She'll go wherever, like... She's aware that Serena's doing this despite her. So I feel like in that way, like her botching the answer honestly hurts Blair more than it hurts Serena. And obviously it does. But the other thing is it's like there's just been so much buildup to get to this point. And it's like Serena, I feel like Serena is a sneaky cat. And maybe this is me putting on my Blair blinders, okay? But let's just all put on our Blair blinders for a minute and let's just walk through this with me. I think Serena was a very dangerous type of woman who holds a lot of knowledge and awareness about her friends and the things that make them tick and the things that are going to push them over the edge and the knowledge of how they will respond and what they will do. And so she sets these little traps where she's like, okay, I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. I know Blair is then going to do X, Y, and Z. And then I get to be the victim. And everyone says, look how mean Blair is.
And I do think she does that.
Blair takes the bait.
But the thing is, she doesn't just take the bait in the way that I think Serena expects her to. Like, she takes it to another level of warfare that, like, at this point we should expect from her. But it's also, like, I do think Serena, it just feels like Blair typically goes to places that it's, like, would Serena just would be, like, I wouldn't expect her to bring up the man that I killed after
But Serena gets to say that now. She knows Blair's going to go low. She doesn't know what Blair's going to do.
She
knows Blair is 17 years old and Serena is aware that Blair will go low. She doesn't know what Blair will do, but no matter
she
what,
knows that
she knows,
will
wait,
go
let
that
me finish.
Low.
She knows she will go low. And she's prepared because whatever Blair does, she knows, Serena knows that in the end, Serena gets to be the victim and Blair looks like a fucking crazy person and it ends up hurting Blair more than it hurts Serena.
That's true. Regardless, Blair needs, like, with last week sending the models home, like, it's like she takes it to another level of, like, you don't need to go that far at the Ostroff Center. Like, and that's what I mean is that this is another example of how Blair needs to learn when to just let Serena fall on her own. She doesn't have to, like, do another thing to get someone in trouble.
But I don't,
because again,
it ends up backfiring on her. I don't think it's really about that. It's about hurting her.
Yeah, that's what,
like,
I, that's
but
what
it's
I
not
mean.
About,
I don't necessarily,
like,
mean
not-
just trouble. I just mean, like, it's about getting back at Serena.
Yeah.
And
but
she
like,
needs to learn to pull, like, tighten the reins a little bit and not
know,
go so low
said,
that she ends up,
like,
on the bottom.
You were like, she needs to learn how to let Serena, like, fall on her own. I'm like, there is no falling on her own. It's not about Blair letting Serena do that. Blair's like, Blair wants the retribution. So she doesn't, it's not about Serena falling for Blair. Now, does Blair need to learn to not do that? Of course. But I don't feel like it's like, let Serena fall on her own. Because at the end of the day, Serena will find somebody else to do this with. Because Serena's a perpetual victim.
She needs to learn to regulate on her own.
Yeah, she totally
does. So that she
doesn't
do that stuff. Because it just...
I just don't like that. I feel like we're just like, and like, let Serena be. Like,
I'm not.
I have a massive justice complex. So for me, it's like, Serena deserves it. Fuck you. And you don't even care about Yale. You don't even fucking care about Yale. You don't even want to go here. So you don't actually give a fuck if
this
the
is where
answer
Caroline
is about
and
a guy
I
who
are
killed.
Different. This is where Caroline and I are different. I just think... Because I also feel like I see in Blair something similar to Hannah, which we've talked about before, in terms of loyalty. And, like, she loves her friends so deeply. So I'm just, like, even when Serena screws you over and is a shitty friend, just pull away your friendship. You don't have to, like, blow the whole world
up. She's terrified, though. Because if she pulls away her friendship, she will learn that Serena doesn't need her and that Serena doesn't miss her. That's what she's afraid of, because that's what she learned with her father and with her mother and with all these people.
Yeah, I know.
I just think the reason we have this much to discuss about Blair and her actions is because Leighton Meester has just made her so layered, where it's like there really are, I think, a lot of different ways to view her behavior. And like, I do sympathize a lot with her, because here's the thing. I might never do the things that Blair does. This is not to say that when I was 17, I wouldn't have done things.
Caroline,
that
you
were,
would not have done this.
Well, Phoebe, I wouldn't have had the opportunity. You didn't let me finish.
Even if you
saying,
did.
Let me finish. I'm not saying that I would do the things that Blair did, because I wouldn't. But would I do things that were vengeful and seeking retribution just to do them? Sure. Like, in my own world, I don't live in the Upper East Side in a fictionalized script. So, yeah, I didn't do what Blair did, because my friends hadn't killed anybody before. So I didn't
I know, but what I'm saying.
But who knows if I had.
If you had, you wouldn't have done this. I know you.
But it would have been from a place of justice, not from a place of I'm just being a cunt like Serena's is. That's the thing. Like, Blair.
That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't be just like you did something and now I think you need to face justice. You wronged me or somebody I love.
In a very
black and white kind of way. Now, the way I'm going to get back at you is going to make it a lot less black and white. But like,
I see the motivators for her and I understand. And I do, like, I'm obviously, Serena is provoking her and is making her react this way. It's like kicking a dog and then being mad that it bites you back.
Yeah.
But it's like, the dog should still know not to bite a person.
100%. But really, the human should never have kicked that dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would never kick a dog. You know what I mean? Because I would just know that, like, hey, if I kick this dog, it could bite me. I know that's a possibility, and I don't want to give it the opportunity. You know what I mean? And like,
I think
really at the end of the day, we're going to get into the episode, but at the end of the day, what it really is for me, I think, is that I sympathize a lot with Blair and a lot of her triggers and her, like, need to be perfect and her, like, just the way that she feels, where she has this like justice complex, and when people, she values loyalty like above all else, and when you are disloyal, it hurts in a way that like maybe isn't totally rational. I completely empathize with that. I don't, unfortunately, because I am therapized, like, okay, maybe there's a situation in my life right now where my family is like holding me back, like putting me in a straitjacket so that I don't do the things that I want to do. Now, they don't necessarily have to do those things, because I'm not going to go crazy and do any of these things because I'm therapized and I know not to. So it is fun for me to watch the fictional character get that justice, because I can't in my real life, and it feels fucking good to see Blair do it to Serena.
I guess I mainly am coming from with why it's so hard to watch is that that's really my issue with it, is that it's hard to watch, and that it's like watching Blair make things harder for herself when she thinks it's going to make it feel better.
Right.
And she's actually, like, she's hurting someone that she cares about by bringing that up. But also,
and she's
hurting herself.
Something that someone that we care about, because we care about Blair, which is why we don't like it. Like, that's why you don't like it, is because you do love Blair. And it's like that we were rooting
you
for you
to
moment.
See her do it. Yeah.
I don't want you to do this, because
it's kind
like,
of, and I know you didn't feel, and I'm not comparing Blair to Lucy Albright. And I know you didn't sympathize with Lucy necessarily the way that I feel like I did. But it did feel like I felt like I cared about Lucy. Yeah. And I was like, I want you to like to do be better. On the other side of this. And that's yes. why the end of Tell Me Lies was so much like, no.
Yes,
like, don't
exactly.
do it. And yeah.
And it also was so realistic because oftentimes
you have that friend that you love so much and they do go back.
You know, like it, yes. it, that is usually how
well,
it goes.
The last thing we'll say before we jump into the episode is I watched this episode this morning and then I watched Pretty Little Liars after. I'm at the part where Allie has come back to school and she has the confrontation with Mona and Serena, or Mona and Allie in the church.
Yeah.
And it's
oh my God.
Low key Blair and Serena.
My God, you're right. Okay, we gotta do an edit with Allie and
yes.
Mona and Blair and
Allie
Serena.
Allie is Serena and Mona is Blair.
Oh, and we can have the moment where Allie, well, I was gonna say Blair did throw the first punch because she threw her purse at Serena's head, but I was gonna say we could have the Allie slap. Or wait, no, Mona slaps.
No,
Allie
Mona
first.
Slaps first.
Okay, so yeah, so okay, I'll get to the lab.
Well, and you know what's interesting is most people like to compare, they like to compare Queen Bees in terms of
yes.
Blair and Allie, but really, Serena is Allie.
100%. And I do think, like, the things that, like, there is a part of Blair, had she not been born into the world she was born into, where she does
yes.
start as a loser Mona. You know what I mean?
That, but also to give the people drawing the comparisons between Allie and Blair credit, had Blair been born in Rosewood without a Serena, she could have very easily been
yes,
the
totally.
Allison De Laurentiis.
Totally. Okay, so we start with an epic Blair dream. I believe this is My Fair Lady, where they're trying to teach Eliza Doolittle how to be a lady. And they're, like, teaching her how to pronounce things because she has this horrible accent that they all hate. And I did also, as I'm watching this, they have Blair as Eliza Doolittle. And they have the subtitles, and it's, like, in a terrible British accent.
Wait,
I was like, okay, be
too.
Nice.
I caught that, too.
I was like, okay, chill. Like, she's doing it on purpose. And then I realized, like, yeah, that is the point of the character, that she, like, has to be taught how to get rid of this accent. But she's trying to say, the rind and spine falls mindly on the pine. And that's literally, like, I would never want to play that role because then I'd have to do that. And people would be like, that was bad. And I'd be like, no, that's the point.
I think roles like that definitely have to be difficult for actors to do.
My God, they stress me out bad. Or, like, when you're yeah. playing an actor who's, like, you're an actor playing an actor and the actor says to be bad. And then, like, oh, it's rough. Anyway. And so she can't say it right, whatever. And then, of course, Serena comes in and rolls her R's and says, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
And this is where, like, we expose Caroline. Caroline can't roll her R's.
Is this the first time we're acknowledging that?
I think it might be, low-key.
Can you roll your R's? Okay, now do this. So a warm up, I have my
I can't do it. I've tried so long. I can't do that with my lips. So that's where we are even.
Wait, let me try and teach you because I teach kids all the time.
I can't do it like consistently.
Your face has to be completely relaxed. Your lips have to be like lightly touching, barely. Now just like
breathe
out. I
guess that was pretty good, but I just did.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you just add in a little bit of a hum, a little bit of pitch. Yeah. And then you just work on sustaining it.
I'll work on it.
I mean, am I a good teacher or what? Holy shit. I mean, I don't even have to be in person to work my magic. But then if a kid can roll their R's, I'll have them do that, rolling their R's, which I cannot do, and it kills me. Can you?
Yeah, I just showed you that I could.
No, do. But roll your R's. I mean, I would kill to be able to do that. I have so much tongue tension. Anyway, I can't roll my R's and it's really, I mean, it's true, Phoebe. I do. I have a lot of tongue tension. It sucks. It sucks, actually, for singing. Pervert. Anyway. So then Blair gets
exclusively for singing.
It's only for singing, you fucking freaks. Oh my God. By the way, I just have to say, I cannot wait to watch Love Island tonight. I can't believe the Casa Amor twist.
I am so excited.
My jaw dropped at the teaser.
Because I was like, surely, I knew Casa was coming. So in my brain, I was like,
they're bringing the
boys
girls in maybe
are in,
during the, yeah.
Yes. Or when we saw the
boys
box,
were gonna
I
be
was
in the
like,
present.
The boys are in the box.
Unveiling
wow.
the TV. I was like, this is way better than movie night.
Can I just say something? Because it's going to be a while before we get to talk about this real quick. And guys, I'll put a timestamp.
Yeah, just so you guys know, this is like, if you want more of this, Friday's episode, that's what this
is. Yes. I've been watching After Sun this season because I want to support Sierra. And the changes they've made to it in addition to just having Sierra and Teffy makes it, like, it's now Saturdays, I do watch After Sun.
They have made it appealing. I love what, I think this is their way of combating the internet hate is like, hey, we're going to show you these people when they get their phones. And like
that's actually a really good point.
You know what I mean?
I also feel like I've noticed there have been a couple things that Solon or that Sierra and Teffy have said that are I've been surprised at how like honest they are, or like how like I don't want to say PC, but like there have been a couple things that they've said where I'm like, if this was the Bachelor Nation podcast, they kind of protect the players more.
Right.
Like, when they talked about Sean being a cop and, like, how people were responding to that, I was, like, surprised they even acknowledged that.
I know.
Because you think about, like, Grocery Store Joe and Serena's podcast, and it's, like, they can't. They have to be nice about every contestant.
Right.
And, like, last night, with the way that Teffy was talking about Sincere, I was, like, dang, like, that wouldn't be allowed. And it makes it so much more. I feel like because these aren't Love Island people that are doing it now, it used to be Maura, and I think she was coming from more of a place of like she's been there
protecting them,
whereas these people, Teffy and Sierra, are more like unfiltered, and it makes it so much more fun to watch because I feel like I'm just like literally at a work happy hour talking about Love Island with a bunch of people.
I only watched their first episode, but I really liked it, and I will be watching last night's, but yeah, I was really excited by the, like, I want to see these contestants get their phones back because I think it's interesting, like, one of the things that Bia, like, saw, she was talking to her friend and they show her friend being like, hey, everybody thinks you're gay. And she was like, I've gotten that my entire life because I'm an athlete, like, okay. And, like, she wasn't, like, offended by it, but it was just interesting to see, like, what if you had to hear the things that you were saying about this person on the, what if we had to hear our podcast played for these people? But like, that's the idea, is like, would that make you think twice about what you would post? We'll see. I don't know. But it's just kind of an interesting thing where they're like making
if I had to guess,
look.
Probably not.
Most likely not. Yeah. But it is interesting. And I think it's like an interesting approach
really
to get more people to watch and then also be like, hey, look.
And I just think pulling the curtain back and seeing all of them going from the villa to the hotel, like last night we see a conversation between Sol and Gabe in the van on the way to the hotel, and them like the same way we get to see the contestants on the island debrief the decisions that they made, we also get to see them talk about how
it's
think
about
it.
I feel like they heard us when we said we like want more of the show. If you want us to watch After Sun, we want more of the show, less of like Maura and these random people from previous seasons talking about it, you know?
And and I feel like that was a lot of them reminiscing on like the good old days, it felt like.
Yes,
like
they totally.
It didn't talk about the show only.
No, and did feel very sanitized. Like it felt very scripted. Sierra and Teffy have like a really nice like banter and they don't seem scripted at all, really, which is people are like, they're so unprofessional. I'm like, no, you're just used to
fun.
This like
I think it's also
version.
Them taking a page out of the rule book right now of like podcasts in terms of people enjoy a Jake Shane podcast where people just come on and they are talking about content that they're typically promoting, but they're doing it in a much more casual, friendly way rather than like I'm a journalist or I'm a Chris Harrison who's like Caesar Flickerman.
Right. You know? Totally. Okay, well, if you want more of this, tune in on Friday to Summer Fridays. We'll be talking all about it, along with all the other reality TV this week.
You know that feeling when you're reading a thriller and you tell yourself, okay, just one more chapter, and then suddenly it's 2 a.m. and you're questioning every character's motives? Yeah, that's exactly the vibe of Not What It Seems by number one New York Times bestselling author Lisa Jackson. I recently got into this one and it absolutely hooked me. It starts with what looks like a simple accident in Georgia's eerie lowcountry marshes, but then investigators find a polished stone beside the body, etched with a bloody number and a strange symbol, and that's when things get weird. Soon, more bodies start turning up, more stones appear, and crime reporter Nikki Gillette can't stop digging for answers, even when it becomes clear she's putting herself directly in a killer's path. What I loved about this book is the atmosphere. You've got Savannah's historic streets, creepy marshlands, buried secrets, and that constant feeling that someone is watching from the shadows. It's got that perfect Southern Gothic mood mixed with a seriously addictive serial killer mystery. If you're a fan of authors like Paula Hawkins, Riley Sager, J.T. Ellison, this is definitely one to add to your list. And the title couldn't be more fitting, because in this story, absolutely nothing is what it seems. Not What It Seems by Lisa Jackson is available June 30th wherever books are sold. So if you're looking for your next can't put it down thriller, go grab a copy and prepare to lose some sleep.
But back to the episode, Blair wakes up from her dream. Dorota's bringing her breakfast and it is Yale day. Everyone is going to be going to Yale for the weekend, see what it's all about. And she's just like so excited. And she's talking about, I guess the dean every year has like a private mixer and only the elites get invited. So she has to score an invite there.
Father also went to the invite.
What?
Her father also went to the.
Yes. Yes.
Got an invite to this.
Dorota holds up page 6 and Serena's all over it. And she's looking at herself on the page 2.
With her close personal friend.
Her mom, yeah. I'm sorry they called you my unidentified friend. I'm like, okay, chill.
I guess also, it's like, better the way than being called your like, mother.
When, Lily, what'd you say?
I guess it's better than being called your mother.
Mother. When Lily pulls out the dresses and she's like, oh, she sent me 2. And Serena's like, oh my God, mom's going to be so embarrassed when I say this, but mom, that's for me. I was just like, it's so giving, like, I'm all over the papers again. I'm on page 6. Like, it's just giving that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and she's kind of living for the little, like,
you're annoyed
cut downs
by
her
me.
Mom is getting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's a little bit like, oh, God, sorry.
I have to be the one to break it to her that she's not 27 anymore.
Mom, I love you, and you are gorgeous, and you know I think that. But that dress is
you are an example of what aging gracefully can look like.
Look like, but that's for your daughter. So we find out that Serena and Blair haven't spoken in a week. And Serena got a personal invite from Yale, handwritten in cursive. And like at this point in the episode, Serena's like, no, that's like the one thing I'll never do. I cannot do that to Blair. Like, Yale is Blair's. I will go to Brown. Well.
This is another thing where I'm like, Blair, can you just save yourself for a second? Like, what? You could have just had the upper hand and let this whole weekend go by without a hitch if this conversation at school that you're about to have, if you just didn't, like, lay into Serena as much as you did.
It is, and again, so funny, and I did write it down verbatim,
here's where Caroline is going to swoop in and say, well, see, I kind of understand why she said all of that mean stuff to Serena.
Well, it's so funny. Like, Serena and Blair speak for the first time in a week, I guess, in the halls, and they're talking about, like, the schools. And Blair is talking to Serena, like, Brown is, like, a bad school. Like, she's like, good luck there. She goes, I can't wait for you to come home next Thanksgiving, a militant veganista, anemic and proud.
The stuff that she said. She's like, you know, we barely here in this part of the country, we don't even consider Brown an Ivy.
Yeah, she's like, the only real Ivies are the Holy Trinity, Harvard, Yale, and Princeton. You know that. Like, she's like, you're so stupid. And Serena's like, okay, well, and this is such an iconic moment. She goes, I know you may find this hard to believe, but not everybody wants to go to Yale because not everybody wants to be Blair Waldorf.
Not everybody can be. Which I actually, multiple times in the last couple of days, I have brought up my favorite Chuck Bass quote, which is when Dan comes up the elevator and says, look, I know what you think of me. I don't think of you. Like, cuts Dan off. I don't think of you.
So,
which
funny.
I actually think is a good reminder for a lot of people.
I think there are a lot of people
in this world who go around like, oh, why do these people hate me? Why doesn't anybody want to hang out with me? It's like, they're not thinking about you.
Hello, anxiety is selfish. Everyone's thinking about themselves. Don't worry.
They're thinking about you.
Yeah. I don't think of you.
That is so, I mean, and he delivers it. Look, I know what you think of me. I don't think of you. And he's like touching his forehead. I don't think of you.
As if the first thought, like
a tumbleweed across his mind, it's Dan Humphrey's head, and he's like, I feel a headache coming on.
I don't think of you. It is. No, Chuck, like, This rewatch, he's so much funnier than I remember him.
He's like, so funny.
I'm really enjoying it. It's so funny.
So we did skip ahead a little bit because first, before we go to school, we go to the Humphrey loft. And Dan, like, I can't stand him.
No, he's literally intolerable.
He's deciding what paper to print his essay on.
This is
I'm like, hey, Dan, this is what pisses me off because later we find out that you actually, this is what you're worried about.
No, you're going to
Yale.
You don't have two letters of rec, Dan.
You have an application. You
don't worry
have
about
a complete
the color
application.
Of the fucking paper, my guy. Let's fulfill the criteria first. How about that one? My God. My God.
Literally.
He just thinks, it's like you might be in Brooklyn and on scholarship and all these things, but like you think you are cream of the crop. And so there you go. You're just as bad as these other fucking guys do.
Nate has an incredible line later on in the episode that is just like, that's Dan's problem. Like, he is so, he wants the best of both worlds in so many ways. Like, he wants to be the lonely boy Brooklynite who, like, is poor and is never going to be given a good chance. But then he also wants to be the guy who interviewed with Jeremiah or interned with Jeremiah Harris and writes all these like eloquent he wants, instead of being like the writer who like is just young, scrappy and hungry, he wants to be the writer that goes to Yale.
To quote a young writer, he wants to be the writer who's young, scrappy and hungry. Exactly. I mean, it's it kills me. And so anyway, Chuck and Nate are getting ready, and they're going whatever, but Nate's like not really that interested in it. And Chuck is evaluating colleges based on secret societies, and I guess Yale has like one of the best ones. It's called Skull and Bones. So, and then Chuck says to Dan, as Dan's getting ready to go, he goes, "Say hello to the characters of public transportation for me." Oh, it's just so funny. But the one thing Blair does say to Sabrina Serena that I didn't say is after she says, "Not everyone can be," she goes, "Since we're not friends anymore, let me speak frankly. You're not that smart. You lack focus and discipline. Charm is all well and good, but in the real world, knowledge is power." And Serena's like, "You know what? I'm going to Yale." Fuck you.
Yeah,
I'm not going
and this
to Brown.
Is where I'm just
I'm going
like,
to Yale.
Sometimes I do think Blair underestimates Serena's like wit, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't mean to give Serena too much credit because Blair is, I think, smarter than Serena.
100%.
But there is, she, it's not so much that she's discounting Serena's wit, it's more so that she's discounting how far charisma can get you. Like, of course, knowledge is power, but you need knowledge plus something else.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what I feel like Serena, we see that when she walks out of her interview later. Like, she just has that kind of.
Well, and that's what's, like, so sad
so
when Blair
she
is
has a,
so,
a social intelligence that I think sometimes Blair forgets gets you far.
Totally. And that's what, like, it breaks my heart a little bit for Blair in her Yale interview. Like, it's, again, like, one thing about the writers is every time they serve us up some really bad moments for Blair, they also, in the same episode, usually serve us up a little bit of, like, backstory that's helpful. You know what I mean?
And they don't do that with Serena, which is why it's easier to root for Blair.
Yeah, exactly. So we're back at the loft, and Jenny has been waiting for Vanessa to come in here because they're in cahoots, and they're going to try to convince Rufus to let Jenny be homeschooled like Vanessa.
I have a comment.
Okay.
Vanessa walks in here showing cleavage for Rufus.
Vanessa was like, okay, plan A, you're just going to ask him. Plan B, he's going to come to the atelier with you. Plan C, I show some tit.
And we're just actually going to do plan C regardless.
And that'll work. So maybe we should start with plan C
but
and work
she,
backwards.
This whole scene is giving that Vanessa is like a little bit, like is closer to Rufus's age than she is to Jenny's age.
Yeah.
The way they like look at each other during this scene when they're like, he's like looking at Vanessa like, are you sure this homeschooling thing is a good idea? And she's like gives him like a knowing look.
She's like, Ruf, it is. I know. I mean, I do feel like maybe he's looking at her like that because he's like, look, Vanessa, you get the realities of the real world. So in that way, you and I have more in common than you have with Jenny because you understand
that's
what it's
true.
Like to support yourself. And so I'm looking at you like, hey, you know what that's like. Do you really think Jenny can fucking handle it? And that's when Vanessa, I'm like, wake the hell up.
I've also just decided that Rufus and Vanessa are this show's Melissa and Emily.
They are. I'm sorry. You might have decided it, but they did too.
That's true.
They decided it long
ago. Those actors said, what if
we just noticed?
We just gave a little something for people to read between the lines.
Yeah, exactly. Vanessa's like, right before she goes on set, she like rips the shirt a little bit to make the cleavage a little bit deeper. She's like, somebody will notice and somebody will appreciate it. And here we are. Anywho. Rufus is going to go to the atelier with Jenny and like watch her work. And the deal is that if at the end of the day, he still thinks she should go to school, she will. So, okay. Dan's interviewing at Yale and like, I know we are like such a broken record about this man, but he continues to be such an insufferable piece of shit in every scene I see him in. Like, he's impossible to like.
And he's rude, unfortunately. He's not rude. Even like the poor kid who has really good manners.
No.
Like, he's just as entitled as anybody else. Almost worse in a way.
100%. Because I think this episode like, really shows that.
There's a level to Nate and Chuck even that like, they and Serena and Blair, I would say too, where yes. they like acknowledge that they know they're coming from a place of privilege.
Yes.
And they know that they live in this different kind of world. Mm-hmm. And Dan is so attached again to being the Brooklynite who is like poor and down on his luck that he yeah. like he's blinded to number one that he is privileged and entitled because he's in these spaces to begin with, but two. That, like, you're also coming, and I don't want to spoil too much, but, like, with a chip on your shoulder that just makes it all so much worse.
Well, and there's not only one way to be privileged, and I think that he forgets that. Like, he's like, if you have money in New York, you're privileged, and that's that. And it's like, well, no. You can also be privileged in so many other ways, like, and you also can still be an asshole and still be entitled. Like, just because you're not rich doesn't mean you're not somebody who is entitled, like, in a bad way, you know? And I'm just like even Nate being like, you know, I'm sure there's somebody who wants this spot more than me, like, kind of acknowledging that, like, it's annoying to people like Dan, but it's like, Dan, that should like make you happy because you are now behaving as somebody who wants that spot so bad, but you're showing up with only one letter of rec, so they can't even look at your application because you have to have two. And it's like, that's the level of like carelessness and ego that Nate
and you think you
should
can just
have
talk your
and
way
like
out
doesn't
of it.
And like, you in the think whole, that, like, you're going to get that spot.
In the whole interview, he's like, whoa, I have, like, this thing, I have this thing, I have this thing. And then he's acting shocked that, like,
yes.
But that you didn't follow the instructions.
Exactly. It's like, if you wanted them to know you had an internship with Noah Shapiro or whoever it was, Harris, you needed to get the letter from him. And you didn't do what you needed to do to get that letter. So, no, you can't tell the dean of Yale, like, well, you should actually try calling him at this time because he's not really a morning person. Like, he's not going to do that. He's just going to move on to the next applicant.
You needed a
backup
plan.
And it killed me when the dean was like, okay, you need to get another letter of rec. And Dan goes, from whom and how? Oh, I don't know. Dan figured out like every other potential
also, like,
student.
What about your English teacher at your fucking school?
Exactly.
Probably
exactly.
Hates your guts.
I was just like,
thinks you're annoying.
It's a shame you didn't think enough about the relationships you should have been forming so you could do this. Nothing like Chuck Bass laying on the grass, laying on the freaking quad at Yale in a full suit with a fedora, fully laying down, fully horizontal while Nate sits up next to him.
I gotta say, I loved his outfit this episode.
Like, genuinely? This
I
brown
liked
one?
It. Not the fedora, but wait, Chuck's?
Yeah.
No, maybe not this one. I liked Chuck's, the sweater with the nautical flags
oh,
that he wore
okay,
at the end
yeah,
of the episode.
Out. Yeah, that was cute. But this is a crazy fit.
Yeah, I forgot about it. Sorry, I lost my place because I was checking
Fine.
My Instacart
He sees
order.
Nate is like sitting with Chuck and there's like some class that walks by and he makes eye contact with Krista Rodriguez, the Broadway icon. She originated the role of Wednesday in The Addams Family. She was also in Smash. You
was
know
she
Smash.
Also in, no, I'm thinking of Menendez. From
Lindsay
Dogfight.
Lindsay Menendez?
Yes, that's what I was yeah. thinking of.
Not Menendez, sicko.
Okay,
Menendez
well, there's definitely
brothers.
Other Menendezes in the world.
I know, but I know that's what you're thinking about. Anyway, so Nate goes up and follows her, and they're going to probably do it. And then Chuck gets kidnapped, which is exactly what he wanted, because he's been waiting for the Skull and Bones to come get him.
And wait, did we miss something here?
Blair's now waiting for her interview.
Okay, yeah. Sorry. So she's waiting for, and she hears this laughter coming out. Well, first of all, we do need to note that the secretary is like obsessed with figurine glass
they're
cats
like
and
Staffordshire cats and dogs, if you know what those are.
And she's dusting them with a vintage feather duster.
Icon.
And then Blair is sitting there and here, and she, the secretary says, I haven't heard the dean laugh like that in years.
And then who walks out but Serena Vanderwoodson, of course. Mm. And he just absolutely loves Serena, and Blair has to go in after her. And she's so shaken up, and you know what it reminded me of? This is what Jill on Roni wanted to happen when she brought Simon to play tennis with Ramona.
Unfortunately, she picked someone who was the least charismatic person on planet Earth.
That Ramona being like, I'm shocked. But then she like didn't act shocked, actually, but they thought she wasn't going to be able to play. I love Ramona because I'm so bored. That's why I can't play well. It's so boring. I want to play with good players. And that's why I'm not playing well. It's because I'm so freaking bored.
I mean, she talks like a toddler, low-key.
She's crazy to me.
She is awesome. But also her, like, them wanting to bring Simon into the building so badly. And Ramona's, like,
hanging out in the lobby. Ramona's like, no, I'm gonna greet whoever she brought to play with her. Yeah. Ramona, like, literally the perfect foil. So funny.
So then
Nate's talking to the girl.
Yes, to Jordan. And she's talking about all of her electives and classes. And she's like, where are you from? And then someone overhears that he's from St. Jude and says, do you know Nate Archibald? His dad is a fucking crook.
His dad has like fucked up a lot of their trust funds. So everybody there hates the captain. So Nate goes, oh, well, my name's Dan Humphrey.
Okay, we couldn't Nate. Have like made up a name.
I know. No, truly. I'm just like, this is so stupid of you. But okay. But you know what? Not the sharpest tool in the shed.
No.
Maybe he can't think of names on his feet.
So Nate then goes and asks Jordan to, like, show him around, and she says yes, and that's when he says that his name is Dan Humphrey.
Meanwhile, Chuck has been kidnapped, and we find out that, yes, the Secret Society got him. Like, he wanted him. They're, like, really impressed with him, so he's going to throw a private party that night to, like, kick things off and get things going with them. And then we go back to Blair's interview, and I love that her like, personal statement that the dean is reading. Did you see what Blair's personal statement was titled?
On being Blair.
On being Blair.
Which is kind of Hannah Marin coded.
It's so cute. And like on the letterhead, like, and I'm just also sorry, Dan Humphrey, you know, who never would have showed up with less than probably three letters of rec?
Blair.
Blair's been asking people to write her a letter of rec since she was eight. Like she's been planning on this. She's like, start thinking about it now. Start taking notes on me now. Because in about 10 years, I'm really going to need this. It's just like, it's so cute. And then the dean asks her.
Is like, this is all very impressive, but like, tell me about you. And like, tell me like what you like to do for fun. The girl who was in here before you said last week she did a fashion show just for fun.
Yeah, that's what it was for. Not for revenge. Well, he's like, yeah, tell me something that's not in that packet. And it took me back to when I was at the Performing Arts Project one summer in high school. And we're all doing auditions. And it was like, I might have told the story before. If you were on deck for the audition, you waited in the room and you were like watching the person in the corner. So this guy who became my friend named Kai is standing there. And I'm in there and I like do my song, do my monologue, whatever. And then they're like, okay, so like, what do you like to do? And I was like, musical theater. And they were like, yeah, but like, what else? Like, what else do you do for fun?
I do remember this story.
I am like racking my brain. Like, I'm like, it's kind of,
what's a hard question for a high schooler, honestly? Because
I'm like, literally, I go to school and then I go like
train.
I'm like in the musical theater boot camp every day, pretty much. So like, that's what I do. I do think about that. And I'm like, I was like, in musical theater.
That's like how I feel about percussion. It was
feels like a very similar type
high school
of commitment
until 10 p.m.
Yeah,
like every
like
day.
Every day I was like dancing, singing, acting. And so I was like trying to think of something to say. And I was like, scrapbooking. And they were like, wow, okay. And I was like, yeah, I love to do it. They're like, cool. And I go to leave. And as I'm leaving, Kai, the guy goes, bullshit. as I'm walking out and we're like not friends, it's like the first day. And I leave and he goes, have you ever scrapbooked a day in your life? I was like, well, yeah. And he's like, but is it a hobby? I was like, not really. And he goes, yeah, as soon as you said it, I was like, she just made to pull that out of thin air. She had nothing to scrapbooking. And then I like got cast in their thing and they were like, so scrapbooking, huh? Like I didn't sell it one bit. And even though like I literally had scrapbooked, but nobody fucking believed me because it was so whatever. So that's what Blair is going through right now. And she's like, well, I don't really like do anything other than like, she goes, everything that is worth knowing is in that packet, which like killed me to hear. And then she says really what like broke my heart. And I wrote it all down. She goes, I'm aware that I lack some people's easy grace with strangers. And I don't exactly make you feel like you've known me forever, even though we just met. When I laugh, you might not smile at the coquettish sound of it. And I may not be spontaneous or delightful or full of surprises. And my hair might not sparkle when it catches the light. And then she goes, everything worth knowing about me is in that folder. I made sure of it. I'm sorry, that hurts.
It also makes me think, not to keep bringing it back to Hannah, but it makes me think of Hannah when Allie comes back and Hannah like dyes her hair black and is like, changes how she dresses and starts drinking. It's like, she just like is always in Allie's shadow. And I think Blair feels that way.
Yes, totally. 100%. So Blair leaves the interview and it's like awkward. She's saying bye to him. Kisses him on the cheek.
I'm like, it's not even like a natural, not that this could ever be natural, but it's not even like, it's like they like, she hugged him and like brushed a kiss on his cheek, like fucking Brutus.
Literally.
But like, it's not like, or what, Judas. Did Brutus kiss Caesar?
No, so Judas betrayed Jesus.
No, see, I do know that,
Brutus organized the killing of Caesar, and I think maybe stabbed him also. And then he goes, "Et tu, Brute, even you, Brutus."
Right? Okay, I was confusing the stories because for some reason I was like, "Does Brutus give Caesar a kiss before he kills him?"
And
then he says,
"The Bible, yeah." Yes. Which I'm happy to tell you more about sometime if you are curious. I can't believe that priest said I was going to hell. Listen to what I just did.
But yeah, I mean, it wasn't like it was like a little like a swift motion.
No,
like
it was
a kiss
like a,
was like,
was
did
like,
it happen? Did it not happen? It was like Blair like wound herself up like a toy and like pecked like a woodpecker toy.
It was like a last ditch attempt. Like maybe I'll try. It was like a Hail Mary. She's like, okay, how about this? Like, I was like, she would have gone for the lips if he didn't turn his head.
Literally.
Imagine if she kissed him on the lips with tongue. She starts doing the heart rate challenge from Love Island. Anyway.
I can't believe she goes in to kiss
like they do on Love Island, which, by the way, why are they doing that?
Tongue out.
That's not, like, not, is that how you guys are kissing? No wonder Gen Z's not having sex. That's like a big thing I keep hearing about Gen Z is they're like, get away from me. And I'm like, yeah, no wonder you all kiss like this. Tongue fully out. Like, sounds horrible. Anyway, so Blair then goes outside and sees Serena and is like, Yale is mine. And this is where Serena literally admits to Blair that she only came here to punish her. So that's why it does feel to me like Blair ultimately putting down that answer for Serena. She knew there were no stakes for Serena. It was only about hurting Blair.
Can I just rant about something with Instacart for a second? Because I just got a notification that pissed me off. I put this order in at 1 p.m. so I could have it delivered between 5 and 7 p.m.
Okay.
Why did I just get an email saying, we're running late? You've known about this order for now 4 hours.
Hey, Dan Humphrey, you had plenty of time to plan and get your second letter of rec.
I'm like, that doesn't quite make sense to me that you're running late.
That's not an excuse. Get me my food.
I don't know about all that. I don't know. And by that, I mean, like, shopping hasn't started yet. Like, it's one thing if my shopper is late. Like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
But, like, Instacart, why didn't you as the service make sure whatever. Anyway.
Well, we won't be getting an Instacart sponsorship anytime soon.
Right. If you will,
unless
if you
want to make this right. Hey, Instacart, unless you want to right your wrongs.
Free groceries for a year.
We're all yours. We're all yours. Serena then literally standing in front of Blair, gets a call, gets invited to the gathering at the Dean's house. And she looks at Blair and says,
this was tough.
You might want to make other plans. She said I was her last call. Well, no, not before Blair says this to her, which I think is, again, this scene is very crucial for me and my defense of Blair. Because then Blair goes, of all the things, Nate, my mom, the girls at school, you wouldn't take this from me because I will take you down. And Serena says, I'd love to see you try, and walks away. What did you think was going to happen? And also,
I don't know.
It is like, imagine how hurt Blair is. Like, yeah, like when you put it that way, look at all the shit Serena's done and Blair keeps taking her back.
I would have expected physical blows before what Blair says.
Really?
Yeah.
Psychological warfare is so much more, you know,
refined,
meaningful and impactful sometimes. So I don't think for me. But I certainly, if I had to go there to physical blows, we would. But I would definitely try to stay in the verbal and, you know, psychological realm as long as I could. Because I think if you're good at what you do, yeah, you can pretty much invoke a lobotomy, a prescribed lobotomy for someone.
Holy fuck. Okay, we go to Waldorf Designs, and okay, Rufus is coming to, what were you going to say?
No. I wasn't. I thought you were going to say to me, okay, well, let's keep going. And I was like, okay. And then you were like, we're going to Waldorf Designs. And then I realized that I said, okay, as though like, you were like, okay, Caroline, we're going to Waldorf Designs. I was like, okay, let's go.
Okay, so Rufus is shadowing Jenny today, and Jenny then like goes to step away, and Jenny goes up, or Rufus goes up to Eleanor, and I'm like, okay, what is their understanding of each other? Because Eleanor knows shit about Rufus now.
No, I know, I'm baffled by it, and I think Eleanor took the words out of my mouth, and she goes, "What does it take your father to work day?" I was like, "Yeah, is everyone like cool with him being here?"
Yeah, imagine if I just like decided to start bringing my dad into the office.
He's just like walking around. I'm like, these people are busy. Like, this isn't the type of work where you can walk around and like observe. You have to like be seated in a corner and don't touch anything.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Anyway, so he says to Eleanor that he wants her to fire Jenny, which is like, hey, dude, chill. Like, that's a little evil. And she goes, I will not. I will do no such thing. And she says to him, which like hearing someone like Eleanor say this, I think has got to hold a lot of weight. She says to him, this is Jenny's moment. Do you remember the dreams you had when you were 15? What if they all started to come true? Would you have told them to wait? So, back to Yale. Brother and sister walking down the quad. Chuck and Serena.
Sorry.
And Chuck's like, yes, you're going to the dean's party. What's your answer to his question? And Serena's like, what question? And I'm like, fuck you, honestly. Again.
And
I don't
Chuck
care.
Says,
you didn't even know about the question.
Chuck says, don't worry, just steal Blair's. And
well, first
Serena suddenly has a backbone.
The question is, what person living or dead would you like to have dinner with? No, Serena, or Phoebe, this is what I'm saying, though, because earlier in the day, too, Serena says to her mom,
yeah,
no,
right,
I will not take Yale from Blair.
I know what that you is. Mean.
And now she's doing it again, but she's going to. She always does this.
What I will say is, Serena, like, you should be able to come up with an answer for this on your own.
Yeah, how about you just literally think of someone you... How about this? The question is, what person living or dead would you like to have dinner with? Just think of someone living or dead that you would like to have dinner with and why.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. They want to get to know you. They actually... Answer
well, because
they
it's
don't give
also,
a fuck what your answer is.
Because also what's interesting is, like, she was so good in her interview earlier. She is a good natural conversationalist.
Yeah.
And you'd think she'd be able to think of something like that and then, like, pontificate at the party,
yes,
and, like, make everyone laugh.
Literally.
But she'd be able to do... It's not... I feel like so much of this interview process, it seems, is also... It's more... Like, it almost feels like these people have earned their spot intellectually here already.
Yeah.
And now this is where they prove that they can, like, play ball. Like, they can, like...
Totally.
Talk to people, and they are charismatic, and they are well-rounded individuals.
Yeah, so like, he's,
so,
like, trying to, like, host
it's
a
not,
symposium or whatever, where they all talk about...
It's not like Serena
about...
needs to come in and say, like, Thomas Edison, because of
yeah,
his, like... He made bounds in this way and like this specific equation. Like, it's not, he's not looking for you to be super, super smart.
Well, I think he probably is still, but did I get that word right? Symposium? Yes, God, I'm good. Oh, pulled that out of the
No, but
back
I mean, like, I
brain.
Don't mean like you can't sound
you know what that
dumb.
Word means?
Well, it's like a, it's a, I know I've been to a symposium before. It's like a collection of people making little presentations.
It's an academic or professional meeting where experts gather to discuss a specific topic.
Yeah. Yes. I went to one to have in college.
That. He's trying to have that. And anyway, I only thought of it because there's some piece of writing I had to read called Symposium. Was that by Aristotle? I don't Caroline remember, but I'm going to find out.
All I mean is, it's not that she can have a dumb answer. I just mean she doesn't need to have like a, it doesn't need to be some
Plato.
Dead famous author. Like it could be, as long as the answer is well-rounded, thoughtful.
Yeah.
Present is charismatic.
Exactly. Just like, that's the thing. Like just bullshit it, girl. It's your whole thing.
Just be yourself. It's your, it is your whole thing.
Yes. Literally just like say something and then like explain it. And also, all you have to do really is intrigue him or somebody enough to have a follow-up question. And then you're pretty much guaranteed to have like more conversations with that. You know what I mean? You just have to intrigue them. So anyway, Chuck tells Serena Blair's answer, which is George Sohn, which is like this writer. And it is so funny though. Serena's like, God, I should have just given my invitation to Blair. And he goes, you got invited and Blair didn't? You're lucky to be alive. Which, like, again, Serena, could you not have seen this coming? Maybe you shouldn't have done what you did. You're lucky enough to be alive. Why are you pushing your luck, you know? Anyway, Nate and Krista Rodriguez are hooking up, and they're like, I'm crazier than you. I'm crazier than you. That's what they're doing.
And she is then, like, as they're making out, she's like, wait, let's talk about...
Wait, before you go to second base, what do you think of Marquez? Is she talking about Gabriel Garcia Marquez or someone else, do you think?
I don't have a clue who she's talking about. I did like Nate's answer to her second question when she like picks up the book. And she's like, what about this guy? And he's like, painful. No, I'm serious. I couldn't get through it.
Called cholera, which so like I think she thinks that his answer painful is about cholera. Like,
but then he elaborates and it's a clever answer.
And I thought it was good. It's like also, and it's honest. Like, I tried to read and I fucking couldn't. And she's like, okay, that I can respect, whatever. And then there's a knock at the door. And she goes to get it. And it's, and this is crazy too. It's Dan Humphrey. And he's like, hi, I heard you were the, like, chair of the student English, I don't know, something in the English department. And he's like, I need somebody to read my work and write me a letter of rec. I'm like, are you coming to this girl's door and asking her to write you a letter of rec?
It's weird as fuck.
You don't know her. You literally don't know.
No, it's so weird.
And then Dan sees Nate and he's like, Nate? And she's like, that's Dan Humphrey. And then he's like,
Dan Humphrey is like, wait. I'm Dan Humphrey.
Hang on a minute. There's only one Dan Humphrey and right here. Reporting for duty. And he needs a letter of rec. And then she finds out that it's Nate Archibald. So of course, Dan and Nate get kicked out. And as they're leaving, Nate's like, oh, like she like threw my clothes at me and she threw a book at me. And Dan goes, yeah, Faulkner looks like a first edition.
Not that you would know.
But he goes, not that you'd know with his hand. You didn't even look at me once when I did that.
Do it again.
Not that you'd know. And he only does it on no. Not that you'd know. It's just so funny to me. Anyway, Dan's like, don't pretend to be me. I am one of one, dude. Do not even try it. You couldn't if you tried. And Nate says, the thing that I've been wanting to know is, do you ever get tired of carrying the chip on your shoulder?
No wonder Serena broke up with you.
Whack him again, Nate.
It's true. Like Dan, do you ever get exhausted of like having to do this performative, like, woe is me, poor me act?
It's so second nature. It's like breathing to him. He probably doesn't even notice he does it.
What does Ezra say about Allison? Lying was her oxygen. She could do it while taking a sip of a drink. She could even do it while kissing you.
Is this an exact quote?
That's like the first line of his book.
Of course. He was like, hang on, I have a tattoo in my back. Let me just get a mirror so I can read it verbatim.
Yeah, let me just.
I have a tattoo on my wrist. Of course. It's where she knows it's all happening. You have the first line of Esther for this book. Oh, my God. Anyway.
It's all happening is still one of the greatest tattoos that's ever. I mean, that tattoo artist should have a Nobel Peace Prize.
I hope it was the same one who did Katie's cheetah print tattoo.
Katie, like, I still to this day just Was it, was, did you have dreams of it being a sleeve?
Why does it look the way, why is it like fade into your skin? Is it supposed to be like, no, this is my true skin. We are one. I am a cheetah. I am a cheetah
like,
and human.
And
we
exist. It's like a weird, like, how did you choose the placement to be like
and it's
right
like, has
here?
It has such a sharp cut off and then it's like, I know. It's like not the full wrist either. I'm like, what? It's such a mystery.
I need to say, hey, if I could get dinner with one person, dead or alive, it would be Katie Maloney, and that would be my one question.
And that's
for her.
The one thing I want to know. Once I get the answer, I'm outie, and you're paying the bill. wait,
and
I was going to say.
I actually ordered 20 goat cheese balls orders to go so I can freeze them.
Yeah, and but you got this, right?
But that's okay. On you.
I feel awkward now. I'm going to go wait in the back for my takeout. But you should be
I want to go take a few pictures in the back alley and then
actually if you want to come take them for me, you probably know the good angles. That made me think of the TikTok I saw earlier. There was a picture of Kristen Doty and it was like, does she ever get better? Like, will I ever like learn to like her? And the comments are like, she doesn't change, but you do. And all the comments were just like, it's
no,
actually heart.
That's so true. That's so
she doesn't
true.
Change, but you do.
Because you start to understand her. You start to see,
like, eventually,
you know,
she becomes your Mariposa. Just wait. The comments are so funny.
We're on the valley right now. She is killing me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and we're on the same page with that. Okay, so.
Perfect.
Back at the Yale office, the dean's office, Blair approaches Shirley, the woman with all the Staffordshire cats and dogs. And she's like, hey, get me a fucking invite to that dinner. And Shirley's like, I can't. And she says, check your email. And the Shirley opens her email, and it's a link to this gorgeous 18th century pair of Staffordshire cats. And
this is like almost a scene from 10 Things I Hate About You.
Yes.
With that, with Alice and Janie.
Yes, it really is. Cat. Meow. I can't do it. Anyway, Kat. by the way, Bobby Ridgway's testicle retrieval operation went quite well, in case you're wondering. I still maintain that he kicked himself in the balls. Right. Kat. That is improv, by the way, when she does that.
Really?
That's, yeah.
Wait,
Kat,
that's so
Kat.
Good to know.
Is improv.
I love improv lore.
I know. I love when you find out those little moments. Like, isn't it's crazy improv?
I love my job. I love my job. I love my job. I love my job.
May the bridges I burn light the way.
That is good. Wait, Teffy had a quote on an aftersun last night that I texted Caroline and Amber about, where she says, okay, if we're going to be fair, my least favorite F word.
I was like, that is Caroline. Amen, unless we're talking about Blair and Serena right now, because I think, frankly, it's fair. Just kidding.
Okay.
So Blair
she
gets
does
the
get
address.
The
she's
invite.
Gonna go.
And so then we go back to the atelier, and Rufus tells Jenny that he was very impressed with her work ethic, but is like, girl, you're 15.
You're going to school.
You got your whole life ahead of you.
Literally.
So Eleanor did not sway him.
No. And so she's like, okay, but can you take me to do one more errand? So then we go to the dean's party and Vitamin String Quartet is playing. What is a song? Time Is Running Out by Muse.
I don't know. I didn't catch it.
The town is screaming out. Anywho, so Blair approaches Serena. Serena is about to write her answer down. I kind of forgot that they write them on slips of paper. And for this whole episode, I was thinking that when Blair is asked who she would like to have dinner with, she says his name.
Oh.
And not that she changed Serena's. I forgot that.
But it works out perfectly because this is going to be alphabetical. And so
yes.
It works out better because
which Serena
thinks
her.
Serena thinks she's about to win.
Yes. Well, and it was good because I'm really glad Serena told her that before Blair wrote it, because I don't know that Blair would have done that. I think she would have written it for herself. But Serena says it right now. She's like, by the way, I'm writing your answer down and fuck you. And that's like also like, again, all Blair says to her is, Serena, I get what I want and I'm going to win tonight. And Serena goes, well, I'm writing down your answers. So no, you're not. And by the way, it's in alphabetical order, which I think is great. So I'm going to go first. And then she walks away and I'm like, hey, Serena, rookie mistake. Not that Blair didn't know that, but rookie mistake. So Chuck's throwing his party. He's got two women for each man. And they're like, yeah, this isn't enough to prove your loyalty. We want Nate Archibald. We want to take him down. We fucking hate him. So Chuck calls Nate Nate wants to leave because he's not had a good night. And so Chuck's like, well, let's just meet up and get blazed. And Nate suggests Mike's bar. And so we think that Chuck is going to send the guys there to go get Nate. Wait, Blair has such a... Nate, or sorry, then... I'm just going to go through that because we go back to the thing. But Dan Humphrey ends up getting kidnapped by the guys, not Nate. But back to the dinner, Blair says to Serena, well, I obviously have a backup answer, and it's going to kill. The way she says that is so, and it's going to kill. It's so funny. And like, I'm sorry, Serena's being such a bitch. She's like, I can't wait to see your face when I say your answer. Like, hey, bitch, watch it. You're so lucky you're on the field hockey field.
Well, she's about to be, basically.
Yeah.
But what we can't see, hey, what we can't see is that Blair actually has her field hockey uniform on under her dress. Serena notably does not because we can see what's under her dress.
Of course she's see because she looks slutty.
She does. She looks slutty. And she was also had her cleavage out on campus today.
I know. She's wearing like a bandage dress with cutouts in the back. And it's extremely low.
And the sides, like all the way up to
her
stomach.
Chill. Like actually chill. And it's also like further information.
Me watching Serena get dressed. Serena, chill.
Chill. Girl, chill. Chill. You gotta chill out. That's us. Chill. Girly. Chill. I invented chill.
By the way, guys, my answer for sing it again.
Frost nipping at your nose.
Sing it again. No, 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 no. Just that part.
Love
just that,
that line. That. Jack Frost nipping. No, 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 no. Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
It's I love when
so
she
funny.
Starts to do her little flourishes.
Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Guys, my answer for who I would have dinner with might be Alan Cumming.
Yeah, it's just a shame
that he's, he's living or dead. So I can put him. Yeah, we would talk about Cabaret so fucking much. Caroline is being one of the clowns on the Traitors. She's being one of the little clowns that come out and like
the Grinch.
Sid Vicious style.
I can't talk about Alan Cumming right now. I'm too excited for the new season of Traitors.
I know, me too. I'm curious. Anyway,
I bet you are.
But what I'm more excited about is Big Brother Loki right now.
Really?
I'm so excited for it to
You're
back.
More excited for Big Brother than Traitors?
Yeah.
Phoebe.
Caroline?
That's crazy to say.
This is a video podcast.
I know. I didn't do anything with my face. There's nothing written on my face. Oh my God, are you okay? I can't help. I can't help you if you're not, but...
Imagine
this is a video podcast. Do not die.
Imagine we're recording the podcast. I have a coughing attack, and I you slowly see me, like, pass out. You just hang up. You just hang up. Don't call anyone. You're like, well, I'm not
and, like,
there.
I know she has an Instacart order coming later, so someone's going to be by. Hopefully they're on time again.
Karen's like, I just can't really concern myself with that right now. Like, I'm she'll like, get up.
Okay, Casa more shirts tonight. Like, I can't worry about this. I'm worried about this. Anyway.
You text me. Fee, when is the episode going to be up?
Phoebe, are you serious? Okay, so the dean reads Serena's answer, and it's Pete
Wait,
Fairman.
I do just want to say that the girl before... Serena says her answer and it ends with and she totally just sticks it to the man and the look on the dean's face is like this woke motherfucker is
He's
not
like,
getting anywhere near my school send her to
Get
Brown
off my campus send her to Brown she can go be a vegan whatever she says anemic and proud so he says Pete Fairman he's like I'm afraid I don't know this person. That's the other thing. You could just easily make up a name of someone that he's not going to know and then, like, make up a reason for it.
Blair would not have done that. let it, that happen.
No, but Serena could have done that.
But I do think it would, like, for as, and again, I know I come across as a Serena defender, but I do just think there's something to be said for, like, she, as charismatic as she is, I do think just hearing that name in a setting that you're not prepared for, and you're, not only are you not prepared for it, but you're prepared to be smug when you hear this name.
Well, yes, that's, that, and exactly, I think that's why Blair had to go.
And so it would be hard to think on your feet.
When I said that earlier, no, I just meant for Serena. If she had to pick a name for an actual answer, if she was going to do the work, just pick a name of someone that you know the dean's not going to know and just make up an answer. That way it's not like,
that's
you have nothing to prove. You know what I mean? But yeah, no. Blair, this was completely intentional, obviously. And I mean, Blair was like, I have to choose someone that is going to throw her off her game a little bit. And this is what it will be. And Blair goes, oh, he's the man she killed.
Girl.
And then Serena's like, well, he did die, but I was not responsible for it. And Blair goes, and were you responsible for the sex tape?
Wasn't very sexy.
And then Serena, like, starts yanking Blair out of the room. And Blair goes, by the way, my answer is George Sand. Love her. Devoted. Or, like, whatever she says. And
worship.
Then they get outside. And she says to Serena, get your hands off me or you're trying to kill me, too. Are you trying to kill me, too?
The way she talks.
Get your hands off me or you're trying to kill me, too.
And so then they they're sorting it out outside, and then
right, they are both sorting it out. That's exactly how I would describe
Serena goes to walk back in, right? And Blair throws her purse at the back of Serena's head.
Yep. Bullseye. Absolute bullseye.
And that's actually
like,
where we get the
reminder why you're invited. Y'all needs to up their Q rating, and you've been
and
all over page
and
six.
Then she tears off her dress, and we see that she's been in her field hockey uniform
there it
this
is.
Whole time.
And she says, Cotty is Hazel. And they all show up and they give her her field hockey stick and they just beat Serena to death.
Yeah, and that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the show. Crazy. Just kidding. But they get into a physical fight. Yes, of course. And Blair and Serena's like ripping out her headbands.
It's
like,
there's
these
a
fucking headbands.
I think it's, is Amy Adams in Fight Club?
I don't know.
It's, there's a scene of a Boston movie that I've watched with Dad, where Dad always, there's a cat fight between Amy Adams and this other girl, and they all have thick Boston accents, and they are on the front porch of a house in Boston pulling hair. And Dad goes, this is what it was like in Dorchester. every weekend. Always a cat fight. This is, he's like, B, come watch this.
Always
this is
a cat
exactly
fight.
What it was like in Dorchester.
That is so funny. Always a
I can't
fight.
Think of what movie it was. I want to say Fight Club, but I don't know if that's a Boston movie. But I do
either.
Think Brad Pitt or Matt Damon is in it.
It's a good bet. That is a pretty good bet. We'll have to ask him. I'm sure he'll know. Maybe we can watch it with him next week. Okay, so we're at the penthouse, the Vanderwoodson penthouse. Lily is trying on the dress that was intended for Serena. And Jenny and Rufus walk in. And this is the third question that's asked this episode that I've been waiting for, because Rufus says, is it okay for us to just be walking in here? I don't know. Is it?
It's a apparently great the maid question. Knew Jenny was coming. And Jenny has freaking hoodwinked her father. Because when they walk in, I'm like, does Rufus know? Has Rufus, at first I was like, has Rufus been here before?
Couldn't
I can't
believe
remember.
Rufus had never been there before.
I feel like he has.
I do too.
And
was
he
faking
says,
it?
But he must
but he literally
not have been
had to
because
check the mail.
He checks the mail and he goes, Jenny.
Like,
whose apartment is this?
It does strike me as weird that he didn't know. Like, I have a hard time believing it.
I really believe. Cause
and also, like, Jenny, you didn't tell. Like, I don't. What Jenny must have just said it was a client's house. I don't know.
And Jenny said that Lily wasn't there. But then Lily, of course, is there and comes out in that slutty little dress.
And Rufus is like, a hubba, hubba.
It's like the cartoon with the eyes.
Yes, absolutely. And Jenny's like, you look amazing, but I need to pick you out a better pair of shoes. And so Lily sends her up to her closet. And this is like a sweet. One of the things I love so much about Lily is how maternal she is to kids that also aren't her own, like Chuck and like Jenny. Like, the
well,
way
really,
that she is there for
I
them throughout the show is really great.
She's more there for them. She's more maternal to kids that aren't her own.
I know. It's true, honestly. It's me. Yeah, that's a good point. We should dive into that sometime. But so she's like, oh, it's so great. Like, I'm so happy that Jenny's found what she loves and that she's so good at it. And Rufus is like, well, you're wearing a great dress. And we find out Jenny made it. And so this is going to, of course, Lily speaking to Rufus is going to just make him rethink everything.
Exactly. And so she's like, she has passion and he sees a new side of Jenny when she comes down with a new pair of shoes and is like considering. So we go to the bar that Nate went to and he's waiting for Chuck and all these guys come in literally like the huntsman in Beauty and the Beast. They are like coming to find Nate Archibald in here. And then they realize that that's Nate because they realize they've been hoodwinked.
No, they come in and they're just bragging about what they just did. They come in, they're like, I can't believe we fucking got him. Like, we got Nate Archibald. Like, we did that. And then Nate turns around and he's like, I'm Nate Archibald. And they're like, what? And that's how, like,
I see.
Nate figures it out. And he goes, I'm going to come here next year and I'm going to kick your ass. Actually, why wait? And they brawl. They have a bar brawl. So Dan, we see, he is, like, stripped down to his boxers, tied up to a gazebo.
Can I just say something about boxers?
Sure.
One, how are they comfortable? Two, how are they functional? Three, how do I not see men wearing them through their pants?
Think about it all the time.
They're so, like, thick and big.
I think more men than we think are wearing briefs. Because most men who wear boxers, we are seeing them. They're just, their pants are so low.
I just can't imagine not. I just feel like you'd have to do briefs.
Yeah, I think so, too.
It would be so uncomfortable. It's like wearing a pair of basketball shorts.
I'm, like, kind of lightheaded right now.
Well, let's keep going.
Yeah. Yep. Let's just go through. Sorry. Nate finds Dan, helps him out, but he can't untie it either. And then Jordan, the girl, walks up. She goes, my mom was in the Navy. I'm like, okay, well, my dad was a Marine and I don't know how to untie knots.
You weren't in the Navy.
So your mom was, but you weren't. Okay, great. And she unties him. And we go back to the porch and Serena and Blair are cleaning up and they're going to call a ceasefire basically because they're sick of it. And Blair, she goes, I'm sick of always looking like Darth Vader next to Sunshine Barbie. Life's too short, but you make it feel so long. And then Serena's like, well, then maybe we shouldn't be friends. And they agree.
True. So Jenny comes out of her room and sees, oh, Rufus and Vanessa here in the morning alone.
Vanessa, I noticed the door still locked from the inside. Did you sleep here last night?
And Dan's did you come window, in the window was closed.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, huh? Interesting. You're already here. And this breakfast was not made by one person, but okay. Mm-hmm.
Or for one person.
Exactly. So Rufus, actually, we find out whether or not it's an excuse, I'm not sure, but he asked Vanessa to bring over the homeschooling info. And after Christmas, they're going to reevaluate for Jenny.
And so
Serena.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Blair is going to the admissions office and runs into Serena on her way out.
Blair already went. Serena is coming to tell the dean. I just like to note that Blair already did it, that Blair did it first. Blair went into the dean's office to say, you should let Serena have the spot. And then Serena meets her on her way in to do it.
And Serena wanted to say that Yale was Blair's dream and she deserves to go there more. And then Serena and Blair reminisce on the first time they ever went to Yale. They were there with Blair's dad for the Harvard-Yale game. And Blair apparently tackled a young girl for wearing a Harvard sweatshirt. And then Blair goes, bet those grass stains never came out.
Rare. And so then Blair looks at Serena and she's like, I don't want to not know you. I can't not know you. And Serena suggests that maybe they were fighting because they're stressed out because they know next year they're not going to be as close. And that's really scary. So Blair waits for Serena and they're going to ride back home together.
I do think that what Serena said there, it's not an excuse for either of their behavior. But I do think that's a bit of a, like, interest, like an observation. I feel like it's a mature observation to make. To look for the reasoning behind both of their behaviors.
Because it's usually subconscious. Yeah. And like kids usually can't see.
And it also, again, right. I'm not trying to give Serena more credit. But like, and I'm, because I typically am Team Blair, but I feel like we get more moments to empathize with Blair than when we get with Serena. Because Serena's just like party girl all the time. But it does show that Serena went home and reflected a little bit on everything that happened and came to that conclusion.
I agree. I mean, it is like, it's easier if we just get in a fight, then we don't have to deal with the pain of slowly growing apart. It's like we can just make it quick and like pretend this big thing happened and like somehow that's going to be easier. Yeah. So Jordan, Nate, and Dan are walking. I'm like, okay, did we have a threesome last night?
Or literally.
Like, what's going on.
And if they did, but, Dan, that means that you're like really into threesomes.
Yeah. It means that it's like you're and you're only going to get more into them, by the way.
That's what I mean.
Oh, OK. Yes. I thought you meant I was like, frankly, that makes sense for him. But Jordan's going to help Dan get a recommendation. Nate apologizes for lying and they kiss. So I feel like maybe we'll see her again. I don't know. And then Chuck is leaving and he gets stopped by the Skull and Bones and they're like, hey, you really fucked up. Like, we're going to make your life hell. And Chuck's like, I'm not fucking coming to the school. And by the way, all of my girls last night were both wearing cameras. They were all wearing cameras. And so I have all these pictures of you in compromising positions. And the guy's like, take the pictures. He's like, take them. I've got copies. He's got flash drives. I'm like, why did you do that? What was the point of that?
I feel like part of it is
you're now under the control of Chuck Bass and I own you.
Well, I think part of it, and I don't know if he said this, so maybe I might have just like read between the lines or like, made up something that isn't said, but I feel like he's still a minor.
Yeah.
So if they were like having him do sexually explicit things, it's like now they have CP.
Wow.
So that's blackmail.
Well, yes. I mean, it's definitely blackmail, but I'm like, I don't know that Chuck was being made to do anything. He hosted the party. I think he's just like, I'm blackmailing you because like you basically were with hookers.
I guess so.
Charleston.
Chill. Whoa, handsome.
I don't know what that was. Whoa, handsome. You guys stop hitting on my dog. Anyway.
Guys, I walked a golden retriever yesterday who was getting I walked him like once or twice a couple years ago and he was like still kind of young. And now this is the first time I've seen him in a while and he like couldn't jump. Like he used to like jump on you when you'd open the door and he's got like the white over his hair.
It's so sad, dude. Stop.
I can't.
Anyway, so Nate's waiting for Chuck now and Nate like thinks that Chuck tried to get him cooked, but no. Chuck explains I did it to Dan, which actually makes Nate more mad. And he's like, that wasn't cool. I think Dan's pretty cool and I'm going to take the train with him. And then we have Blair and Serena. They say a proper goodbye to Yale. And of course, the dean calls Serena and Serena like puts the phone up to both their ears. Big mistake. You should have definitely heard what the phone call was about before you did that. And the dean's like, I still want you to come. Like, and we see the dean has articles of Serena like all over his desk. So Blair is right. They are trying to up their Q score. And so she's like, they're like, we want you to come. You should definitely check in December for early acceptance. And she's like, well, what about Blair? And they go, yep. And she'll find out in the spring with everybody else. And then he asks if they can issue a press release about her visiting campus.
I do have to say, I don't really understand. I get like what Blair is saying, but if I put myself in the position of Yale, I'm like, the shit that Serena does and is in the news for like isn't really, I don't want to release a press release about
it's
her
not like
coming
Yale
here.
Adjacent. It's almost like the Alex Earle, like, giving a chat at Harvard Business School. You
yeah,
know
but
what
it's
I
like
mean?
if Alex went to go tour Yale, I don't know that they would be like, we're gonna release a press release that like she's gonna come here.
Maybe they would about like a celebrity's kid. You know what I mean? Like maybe.
Yeah. But if they were in the news for the shit Serena's in the news for.
No, that's the thing. I know. I don't know. It's very weird. It's very weird. And so Blair, like, is encouraging Serena to accept it, but Serena doesn't want to. And she's like, we're going to find a way to share this. I promise you. And that's really it. Like, Chuck.
In Manhattan, Lily is still enjoying that slutty little dress. Jenny 100%. Is working. Chuck
Dan
is watching Dan and Nate. And then
Chuck
Serena.
Chuck does low-key have, like, a tear in his eye.
Yeah. He's sad about it.
Did you notice that? I was like.
I don't think I noticed a tear, but maybe a figurative tear.
It. Low-key looked a little bit like he was about to cry. I don't know. And then we see Blair, like, getting sad in the car because she knows she fucking blew it. And I am like, at the end of the day, Serena, still fuck you. Because now you guys are making up. But, like, still fuck you because you did blow this for Blair.
That's
by
fair.
Doing all that. You know
That's
what I mean?
That's fair.
Anyway.
Are you on the synopsis or am I?
I don't know, but I can do it. All right. Next week is Season 2, Episode 7, Chuck in Real Life. And it says, Blair seeks revenge by enticing Chuck to seduce Vanessa. Serena rebels at a party of Lily's. Dan and Jenny find out a secret Nate has been hiding. Ooh, Chuck seducing Vanessa. I can't wait. They dated in real life.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm. For like a while, I think.
Fascinating.
I know.
Fascinating.
I also didn't know that Penn Badgley dated Zoe Kravitz.
I didn't know that either.
And he had like a hilarious quote about their relationship. It was like way back when. And it's such an Aria quote.
Guys, Arya's got a skin of got the skin of a killer right now, and it's so much more annoying than I remembered. That was some of our best lore.
Skin of a killer. God. Does Serena have it or no?
I don't know. It's so up in the air. She has the glisten of a killer.
He said, in April 2013, I'm falling madly in love in a way that is changing me and opening me up. We have a real, true, earth-shattering love. About him and Zoe Kravitz. So, okay. Anyway, and he said, I'm grateful for Gossip Girl for putting me in New York so I could meet her. I bet this was after he dated Blake Lively. Woof. Saying all that. Crazy. Anyway. All right. Oh, my God. I just had a moment where I looked at the stop button and I thought it said record. And I was going to die. But it's all good, you guys. Thank you so much for listening. Reminder, we will be talking on Friday about all things reality TV this week. We've got The Real Housewives of Rhode Island Reunion Part 1. We have got Love Island Every Night. We are in Casa Amor and it's got a twist that is really, really fun. What else? The Valley. Am I missing anything for this? This week's like a lighter week.
Does Next Gen start this week?
Oh, it might. I think it does. Fuck yes. I think it starts this week. And then we're also in just like 2 weeks, Big Brother will be starting. And we only have like 4 days of overlap between Big Brother and Love Island, which should be good. So we can really, you know, lock in. By the time those 4 days are up, we'll be kind of used to the new people on break, because there's always a little bit of a learning curve when Big Brother starts, like a little bit, or not learning curve, but like you have to get used to the people a little bit, warm up, because they're kind of freaks. But yeah, it's going to be epic. So listen, all right, guys, love you so much. Thank you for listening. Let us know if you're team Serena or Blair in the comments, and we will see you next week.
And Splat.
Splat.